Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the July edition of Page Turner Podcast. As always, is with me is the illustrious Rob Roy McCandless. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Kari. Thank you so much.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, except it's so hot, but otherwise great.
Are you back in Southern California? Because I know you were camping somewhere. You said something about mosquitoes and scouts.
Idaho. We're up in Idaho. We come up for the summer months up here, and I took my two boys up to Camp Morrison BSA, and it was hot and gross.
And were you allowed to have campfires? Probably no campfires.
No. There's a burn ban up at camp. You can't burn. So no campfires, which we didn't need them anyhow because it was plenty, plenty warm.
Well, you can thank global warming because I don't remember having fire bans where I grew up back in the day in Ontario many moons ago. But we always had campfires at summer. Don't you? Do you remember there being fire bans growing up?
Not growing up, no.
No, yeah, just recently. Well, thanks, global warming. Yep. Who do we have with us today, Rob?
Oh, I'm so excited for today's guest. Actually, a personal friend of mine, someone I've worked with for a couple of years now. We have Jen Nixon, and I'm going to read off her bio for you. Jen's love of writing started the year she received her first diary and Nancy Drew novel. Throughout her teenage years, she kept a diary of her personal thoughts and feelings, but graduated from Nancy Drew to other mystery suspense novels. And this includes her latest work, Drake's Dream, which will release later this week, sometime around Friday. She often adds a thriller and suspense element to anything she writes, be it romance, science fiction, or fantasy. When not writing, she spends her time reading, observing pop culture, and driving her friends crazy with all the characters living in her head. Please welcome Jen Nixon.
Hello!
Welcome, Jen!
Yay! Thank you so much for having me!
Yay!
I don't even know where to start because I find your books very intriguing because you sort of have a blend of the fantasy and romance. And I love anybody that does that. So can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to write romance, science fiction romance, fantasy romance? Tell us a little bit about that.
I definitely didn't decide. It decided for me. My very, very first book was along the lines of Mary Higgins Clark, like a mystery suspense kind of thriller. It was about a girl who found this guy and they have this relationship and all of a sudden she starts getting messages on her car and a flat tire and she realizes someone's stalking her, blah, blah, blah. I wound up selling it to one of those vanity presses back in 2000. I don't know if you guys remember those, the ones where you had to pay to get published. Yeah, I did one
yes.
of those.
Yeah.
I did one of those. So suffice it to say, the book wasn't very good. I wasn't a very good writer back then. So I went to Romance Writers of America because it was literally the only writing group around. So I'm like, well, I kind of like romance in my stories, but I don't like the romance to be the story. So let me just see what they have. So I made a couple of friends and decided to stick around. And my second attempt at a novel was also a thriller, suspense, mystery kind of thing. It was about a female assassin who killed bad guys. She was like the Dexter, but before Dexter was Dexter, I guess you could call it. Well, before I knew who Dexter was, I should say his books probably came out way before my books, but I didn't know who Dexter was. So, but she's like a good guy. She's actually better than Dexter. She's not a serial killer. It's a fine line. She has this one line. She says, we're not the villains, but we're not the good guys either, which is true.
I like that line.
Yeah, so that was my lucky series. That's actually where me and Rob met with Wildcrow Publishing. And the third book I wrote was the Teva books, which were basically in the early 2000s, it was right after 9/11. I was living by myself and I was kind of lonely. And I joined a Star Trek role-playing game on AOL. And I created this character called Teva Boone. And basically used this format of role-playing with all these other people to create this character, and she actually became her own character. She still is in my head. She has her own Twitter, believe it or not. She does. She has her own Twitter. And I just really did well with the sci-fi. The people that read a couple of the things that I wrote prior really liked the sci-fi, and I love sci-fi. I didn't read a lot of sci-fi growing up. I read a lot of mystery, like I said, of Iris Johansson, Mary Higgins Clark, John Sanford, Lee Child. That was what I gravitated toward reading. But for some reason, just the sci-fi and all the, because you can really mix sci-fi with anything. So I can still do the suspense, and I can still do the mystery, and I can still do the thriller. I just throw aliens or weird powers into it, and because I watch a lot of sci-fi. Sci-fi is like my favorite genre to watch on TV. So I kind of use that to put it into books that I would like to read.
What's your favorite stuff, sci-fi stuff to watch on television?
Oh my God, how much time do we have?
Not that much.
Well, let's just say over quarantine, I finally binged Rick and Morty, finally. I watched the other Solar Opposites. I watched Castlevania, Killjoys. I finally got into The Expanse. Took me about 7 episodes, but I definitely got into that one. I can't wait for that one to come back. Pretty much if it's sci-fi, I've at least seen the pilot or I've watched it. That's if it's sci-fi within the last 5 years, I definitely know about it.
Here's my test for whether or not you rate like on my Coolometer. Are you a Firefly fan?
Of course.
Okay, you're on there.
Stating when they canceled that show, I was so mad. And then the movie was okay. It was nice that they gave them that chance to wrap up their story, because I know how it is watching. Do you remember that show Terra Nova with the dinosaurs?
Yep.
God, so many never came back.
Yeah.
there was like a 2-year period in television where every single first season of sci-fi
got
canceled. That one got canceled. No Ordinary Family got canceled. So if they didn't get hit with the writer's strike, they got canceled. So I stopped watching a lot of shows for a while until they got a second season. Because I was just bitter.
Well, the disappointment, right?
Yeah.
It ran deep.
I'm curious what you're looking forward to now, Jen. What shows, either fantasy or sci-fi, that you're looking forward to coming out soon?
Dune, the movie.
No, oh, I was just going to say, can we talk movies and mention Dune?
Yeah.
That's gonna
can
be
you
amazing.
Talk movies and not mention Dune? That's
well, I'll just say, I tried like 4 times to read the books. I just can't. Either it's just the style, I just can't. But I've seen the original movie, obviously.
Yeah.
But I love the sci-fi miniseries that they did. Regular Dune, and then they did Children of Dune, which is where James McAvoy came from.
Yep.
He was in there. Oh, he was so good in that. Use my eyes, use my eyes. I'm so stoked. The cast is great. I can't wait. I hope they do it really, really, really. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Oh, and I just finished Loki, so that was awesome. Yeah. No spoilers.
Is that done now, Loki?
Yeah, last episode. Yeah, okay. The season.
I have to catch up.
Yep. No spoilers from me, but there's going to be some angry people in the MCU cleaning up this mess.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you have to be careful with those spoilers. I put something about Harry Potter on my Facebook the other day, and I don't even want to say, because somebody's like, oh my God, I'm just like reading it for the first time, and oh, I can't, and they were so, you know, they didn't say much, but the fact that they had to like stop and say something about me ruining it for them, I just was like, oh, well, it came out. Like,
5-year rule on that.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
it's been
well beyond that.
The last movie was 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we're
so, yeah, you gotta be
well
wrong.
Beyond that. Like, I feel for them, but, you know, it's not our fault they were born late.
Definitely not. Like, I got spoiled with the new Star Wars movie, and it was literally that Monday after it came out, and it was just a random, And it wasn't even like, I wasn't even looking for it. It was just some, I scrolled and I saw someone's big, huge GIF with their writing in huge caps and it blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I was so mad. I couldn't believe how mad I got. It was like a pivotal moment in that movie. So then I, because of that spoiler, I took another 3 weeks and I didn't even see, I waited. I'm like, that's the character I cared about the most. And you're going to tell me that? Blah. I'm just going to wait.
what was the spoiler? Was it about Ray?
No. You can't say it. It was a spoiler.
A different character. Well, yeah, is it 5 years for that movie?
Was it Skywalker?
You haven't seen Force Awakens, that's the first one, right? Force Awakens. You haven't seen Quest for a Second. It was about Han, so.
Oh, it was about Han.
Yeah, so you can see my character. I've been in love
with her. We're way beyond 5 years for that one, I think. Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker was 2019, so that means
Force Awakens was like 2015.
2015, 2016. Yeah, we're at least 5 years out.
Yeah, because, you know, Harrison Ford, you know, between Han and Indy.
Indiana Jones. Oh, my God.
It was my staple in the 80s, so.
Right? Yeah. Like, I always want, like, I grew up, because I'm 47.
Same here.
Really?
We're all 47.
I grew up as Luke Skywalker was, like, my boyfriend, and I loved him. And I remember my mom was always like, no, Han Solo. And it took me years until I got old enough, and I was like, damn, like, Harrison Ford was fine. I was like, to me, he was like an old guy, but Indiana Jones, like, yes, please. I'll take two helpings of that.
You definitely want Mark Hamill over Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford is a little grumpy, and Mark Hamill is a worldwide treasure. He's a wonderful person.
Oh, I know. I follow him on Twitter. I tweet to him all the time. Like, I love his personality.
Oh, he's great. He really knows how to tweet. Yeah.
He's great. And are you guys fans of What We Do in the Shadows? Like Taika Waititi, he's another brilliant, brilliant filmmaker.
I haven't seen that, but I just saw the trailer for the new Reservation Dogs. That looks really funny.
Yeah, and he's got another show called Wellington Paranormal on the CW.
Oh, I'm totally going to watch that next.
It's so funny. Like, it's just like What We Do in the Shadows, only cops investigating paranormal stuff. And it's just, do you watch What We Do in the Shadows?
I haven't. I'll have to check that out, too. But that Wellington PD, I read on Yahoo News that they've literally got no viewers.
No! Funny. Taika Waititi is so underrated. Like,
hilarious.
If you watch
good.
Yes, Jojo Rabbit's hilarious. And like, boy, there's another movie. Like, I think it was his first real movie. And at the end they do like a reenactment of Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's so funny. Like, he's just so funny. But anyway, Mark Hamill was on What We Do in the Shadows, and he was just equally as hilarious and endearing, and he's a lovely man.
It seems like it.
So what are your favorite books, and what authors would you say have influenced your writing?
Books don't influence, because I read different genres from what I write, so... my bookshelf has Karen Marie Moaning on it. I got The Kite Runner on there. Let's see what else I got. Got the Jedi Apprentice books from the 90s in there.
Those Jedi Apprentice books are good.
Got a lot of Lee Child. I got a lot of John Sanford, Irish Johansson. I don't have my glasses on. I think I got a couple more books up there. Well, actually, I put my glasses on because they're right here. Who else do I got? Oh, I have all my books. I took a YA, not really, I guess it was more like a children's book class when I was taking college courses online. And I read Walk to Moons. I read Stargirl, Coraline, Stardust.
That's all Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, those two are Neil Gaiman. I read The Secret Garden, which I hated. Oh, I hated that book. Catcher in the Rye, I hated too.
Understood the appeal of Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye, I think you have to be like teenager, young 20s to appreciate that book. Yeah. And, you know, I was like late 40s or late 30s when I read it. So I was like, God, this kid is so annoying.
Yeah.
Supposed to be annoying, but, you know, because he was an angry teenager, which is fine. Just wasn't the book for me. But I read that one, and I didn't like Mary in the Secret Garden because I thought, again, she was a spoiled little brat. Well, she was.
Yes.
Yeah. But there is a movie for that one that I haven't seen yet, but I do want to see it because I think Colin Firth is in it, and I like him.
Yeah, no.
I like Colin Firth. Colin Firth is okay.
Poor Rob. All we're doing is talking about boys, and Rob's just like, when are we going to talk about boys?
Colin Firth is my second favorite Mr. Darcy, so Colin Firth is okay.
Who's your favorite? Who's your first favorite?
What's his name? Mick something.
McLovin.
No, from the really good Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, Matthew McFadden.
Matthew
McFadden. He's currently...
McAvoy?
No, McFadden. McFadden.
McFadden, that's it. He was in that... He was in Ripper Street, which was so good.
He was in Pillars of the Earth. That's where I first saw him.
And yeah.
He's also in that new... I think he's in that Succession show right now, which I don't watch it, but because it's like
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
I was thinking of the other one with Keira Knightley and James McAvoy. What was that one?
Oh, that was that one.
Love Actually.
No, Keira Knightley and James McAvoy were in.
Yeah, what was that one with the sister? It was a famous one. The sister accused him of something, and
Atonement.
Oh my gosh, that's a hard movie to watch.
Atonement?
Yeah, Atonement.
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Oh my gosh, it's so like.
And it's like the end of like, oh yeah. Yeah, that was
the whole thing. Like, and then you project back and you're like, yeah.
Kind of like Life of Pi. That was another hard one where the ending was like, what?
Yeah, and that one.
That one was a hard one.
Yeah, that one you're like, you're a big fat jerk. Thanks a lot. Like, I was really enjoying this great movie. This is a horrible movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they don't give you a warning sometimes. They should.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but they don't. No.
Crazy. No.
That's fun. That's, yeah. So I personally am looking forward to the Wheel of Time series and also the Lord of the Rings Second Age prequel kind of a thing that they're pulling together. But then I'm a big old fantasy nerd, so.
Yeah, I've been getting into more fantasy stuff. If it's good, like I watched Cursed on Netflix, which was okay. Have you guys heard of The Outpost?
Yeah, I actually am friends with Jake Stormian.
You know him?
I know him, like not friends, like we're online friends, but like, because he was in this series. Stuff, what's right? That?
You do role playing with the dice because he sells those dice thingies.
Yeah, he has his own line of dice through Ironforge. So there's a shout out for Ironforge. He had this series before that sort of starred, not really starred Kevin Sorbo. Kevin Sorbo was attached, but it wasn't really him. It was called...
It wasn't really him?
Kevin Sorbo was in it, but he wasn't really in it. Like, he was just he was the name that made the movie kind of work, but
he wasn't really like the lead, like the star.
No, he kind of came in and out, and it was called Mythica. It was this whole series, and he and Jake played my favorite character, which was this like elvish archer, because I love elvish archers, so like loved him, and then just followed him through all this other stuff, and I backed him on Patreon, and I'm like, you're gonna be big, and he's like, no, I'm not, I'm just gonna be a working actor. And now he's got this fantasy series that's gone for just started its fourth season or fifth season. Like, it's crazy The Outpost has lasted so long, because it's kind of that borderline cheesy, silly, low budget, but they really have a lot of heart.
It was in the first season was definitely, it definitely gave me those Xena Hercules vibes. But the whole thing for me was his character, Talon's character, but it was Janzo. Janzo was the one who.
Oh.
Because he's like the funny sidekick character, but he's really smart. He's got a really big heart, and he really takes care of anybody. But the actor who plays him does such a wonderful job of creating this zany character. I was like, I really like this character. I think I'll watch another episode. I really like this character. I think I'll watch another episode. And then I, at the end of the season, I was like, okay, that was a pretty good story. Some of the acting, some of the CGI, but it definitely got better in the second season, and it definitely got better in the third season. It's actually very, because the first time I watched it, I was like, I watched because I watch most pilots. And I was like, she's really pretty. Fighting's kind of okay. I got something else there. But then quarantine hit, and you have not, I literally went through everything I could possibly think during quarantine. So I watched it. Again, I watched the pilot. I'm like, I still like that Janzo character. Let me watch another one.
Yeah.
All right. What else am I going to do? Nothing. I can't go out. Okay, well, fine. I'll watch another one. And then I just and then I wound up watching three seasons. Or I watched two seasons. I think they're on their fourth season. Yeah. So I watched two seasons, half of the third season, caught up to the point where they were actually airing live episodes. And then the third season. And then I found the community on Twitter, found out one of my other friends watched it. I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't think anybody watched this show.
It is one of those neat shows that, but really strong core folk follow it. Yeah, it's got a great.
There's definitely, Killjoys is another one that had a good Twitter following. And I actually follow the creator, the showrunner, and one of the actors. I interact with them a couple of times on social media. They're really cool people. That's a good show. If you haven't seen Killjoys, you can binge that whole thing probably in a week. It's fantastic. Yeah. It has one of the best character reveal twists that I've ever seen, read, heard, anything. The best character. I was like, oh my God, that's the best idea I could ever think of. But I didn't think of it.
Killjoys, is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
That's a sci-fi channel.
It's a sci-fi, yeah.
Oh, it's Canadian.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of sci-fi is actually Canadian.
If you've seen Ant-Man,
Canada, you'll see why.
If you've seen the second Ant-Man and Wasp, the main, antagonist in that movie is the main character in Killjoys, and I forget, one of the Ashmore brothers is in there.
Yeah, Aaron Ashmore.
The one I like better, the one that does TV.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to check it out.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, Killjoys came out the same time like Dark Matter came out, right?
Yeah, I didn't stick with Dark Matter. I might go back and watch it again, but I went to The Expanse instead. I like that better.
Yeah. Yeah, Dark Matter started really strong and then kind of lost. I think it didn't have the viewership to carry it forward. I think that was the problem. But I liked it well enough. Will Wheaton showed up.
Yeah.
He shows up in everything, doesn't he? Isn't it like required now to put Will Wheaton in if you hit a third season?
That would be awesome. I'd be down for that. Will Wheaton.
Will. Oh, what a guy. Anyhow, we're way off track here.
Okay. I can talk about movies, TVs, books all day.
Forever. Well, you know what? Let's shift a little, Jen, because you do other stuff. Like you are really involved in publishing, not just the writing of books, but you also do a lot of work with Alyssian and marketing. Can you talk a little bit about your experience there, like what you like and what you've seen as trends?
As far as social media,
whatever.
Not as good as you say I am.
tell us a little bit about what you do, because we do have a lot of indie authors that we interview or that listen to the show. And one of the biggest things for an indie author who's going to self-publish on Amazon is there is no marketing. with that. Right. You are solely responsible for getting that book out yourself, or even with like a small press like Rob. How much marketing do they do for you, Rob?
You know, they always do just a little, but it really is the bulk of the marketing is on you. And that's actually kind of how Jen and I got together, in that Jen is a social media maven and was able to point me in a lot of good directions and has really assisted me in, like, any real success that I have in marketing is because of Jen.
Thank you.
So Jen, tell us what you do, and then maybe give some advice to like an indie author who's got to do marketing on their own.
Okay. Well, there's two different routes, obviously, because when you're with a publisher and you don't have control over your specific book, you cannot use Amazon ads like an indie author can. So I'll start with the small press authors. We'll start with them. You need a newsletter. Absolutely. 100%. You need a website. Then I can tell you things not to do. Don't do like for likes with authors on Facebook, because you're going to wind up having 1,200 authors on your Facebook profile page that probably are not going to interact with you very much. That's what I did early in the day just to build up my page likes. Not a good idea. Don't do that. Actually interact and talk with people who like to read. I mean, I'm not saying don't be friends with authors, obviously, because authors will share, but you know, some random author who you don't know, you're doing a like for like, it's not going to help you. So don't do it.
Right.
Definitely pick a couple of social media platforms that you will keep up with, that you will interact with other people with, and you will not just use them as vehicles to sell your books. You have to, you know, talk about your life a little bit. You don't have to tell them anything that's private. You can tell them about some pets you have or what you did during the day, or post a picture of your avocado toast sandwich, you know, just to keep people engaged. But don't spread yourself too thin. I also did that. I have MySpace, Tumblr, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I used to have the Google Plus when that was a thing, and I literally use probably three of them. So if you spread yourself too wide, I still have a Pinterest page, which I probably haven't been to in about 2 years. So don't spread yourself too thin. Pick a couple, 3-4 that you're going to use and use them. What else? Like I said, definitely have a newsletter. There are different ways you can build your newsletter. Offering freebies of your books is a good way. You can say, hey, I can give you a copy of this book if you sign up for my newsletter. You can enter giveaways with other authors, like I do we're actually doing one in August. It's 5 authors get together and you set up like a rafflecopter type deal where anybody who wants to enters their email address. Your email address goes on a list. Every author in the newsletter giveaway gets that person's email address, and now they're on your newsletter. And a good way to get is like book funnels, Insta freebies. They do giveaways where you can set up free chapters. You don't even have to give them the free book. You can do giveaways on your social media, $5. I'm going to pick a $5 winner in my next newsletter. Sign up for my newsletter now. Free chapters is, I said that right, free chapters is always a good thing. Let's see, what else? Website, everybody needs a website, because eventually social media is not going to help. Because when I first started using social media ads, like Facebook ads, they were fantastic. I sold 1,900 copies of one of my books in 1 quarter. I spent a lot of money on the ads, don't get me wrong. But I also sold 1,900 books in 1 quarter. And
That's a really good point to make, though. You have to spend money.
Yes.
If you're an indie author, you need to, like, if you want to sell books, you should expect to have to spend money. You should have to expect money on your cover and your editing and marketing. You really do need to it really is a thing. It's the very rare individual who doesn't have to spend much, if anything, that becomes successful.
Right. And the diverging roads is that I haven't had a lot of money for budgeting in the last couple of years. So that's why I stay with a small press, because they do the cover for me. They do the editing. And yep. So depending on the publisher, some authors, and like I have a couple of publishers that I work with. There's a couple where the authors really are supportive and share each other's books. Whenever there's a new release, everybody goes to the author page or the publisher page and shares from the publisher page. We have like 100 shares for the new release every time a new release comes out. You know, so that's the benefit of having a publisher, that, you know, you have a little bit more money, more of your money to do the marketing. But when you're an indie, you have access to that Amazon ad thing, which is killing the small press right now, because there are so many people using and publishing Amazon as an indie publisher, and they're blasting ads all over the place. Like I 3 to 4 ads every time I do a search, and I can't use that because I'm with a publisher.
Right.
So it depends on which road. If you have the money and you can do it all yourself, do that, because you can. There are better tools if you're an indie publisher right now to get your book seen. If you're going to go with a small publisher, you're going to need a probably twice the marketing budget you would have if you were independent and used Amazon to sell your books. Yep. That's what I'm saying right now.
Yep. Why won't the small presses allow you to use Amazon marketing?
Because it's an Amazon thing. Amazon,
yeah, it's the other way around.
You have to publish through
Amazon. Okay.
Your publisher could probably run ads for you, but you know, they're most small press that don't, they have like, you know, maybe like a $500 a month budget for their, and they usually spend it on people sharing, doing, you know, giveaways, paying virtual assistants to, you know, post in groups and stuff. And then, you know, they also have, you know, 20, maybe 100 authors with only a $500 budget, whereas an independent person has that $500 all for themselves.
And right. Then
they wind up selling, you know, 1,000 books in a week because they have a great budget.
Yeah.
But you don't need a big budget to sell some books. Because you, well, that's true. Because if you sell, yeah, you know, if you set up your, I have 4,000 people on my Facebook page. I have 7,000 people on my Twitter. I have 2,000 people on my newsletter. And I would say on any given time when I send out my newsletter, at least 1,000 people open it and read it, which is good. And the last book, I don't remember exactly how many copies, but I usually sell between 200 to 300 copies of a new release book the first month it comes out. So wow. I know I have a nice base of readers, trying to like double that with this book coming out. But my problem also is I'm not the typical, I tried to call myself a romance writer in the beginning, and romance writers told me I wasn't a romance writer. And I'm like, why am I not a romance writer? Like, because the romance isn't the focus of the story. I'm like, okay, so I'll just call myself a sci-fi romantic author, or a romantic suspense author. Mm-hmm. But right now, genres are just so mixed. The labels don't even matter to me. I always have romance in a book, usually, because I write about people, and people tend to fall in love. It's kind of what they do. So I write characters. I find it unrealistic for people not to be attracted to other people in books, especially if, you know, they're hot, because most people in books are hot. So I'm wrong. I'm not.
You're not wrong. Like, it's very rare that you imagine a protagonist who isn't good looking.
Right. You know, and I've actually tried to make a couple of my characters, you know, a little chubby or have a dad bod or whatever. So a little bit of realism doesn't hurt anybody.
Tell us about how many books have you written?
I've written a lot more than I've published. I was counting with my my friend Tom, and I'm like, holy crap, I have 19 books published this week. Or yeah, this week, when this next book comes out, it'll be 19. And then I just
I'm just going to stop you. I'm getting a little bit of feedback from your microphone. Do you hear that, Rob?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Are you like moving closer and further away from, are you moving around?
I will not move anymore.
Okay, yeah.
she's getting really excited while talking.
Sorry, you just
very animated when I, yes, I'm very animated.
Okay, that's better.
I will just get
so you've published 19 books.
19 books. The 19th one comes out this week, and I just finished the third book in my space opera / sci-fi thriller romance, The Monarch Mission Files. The third one, that one's going to come out in, I think, October, I think.
What's the name of that one, Jen?
That one is The Monarch Mission Files. I haven't come up with I think it's going to be Takedown. Because I was going to do Endgame, and then I was like, yeah, you can't do Endgame. Cause I know
that might be
Marvel.
And that one might have been taken, I think. I think there was a small indie movie that came out with that, and it was it was popular a few years ago.
Yeah, a little bit. So I was like, yeah. I don't want to do that. So I think Takedown is good.
Takedown.
Or some kind of, because like, you know how, you ever watch The Family Guy, that one episode where they talk about how characters say the title of a movie or a book or something in the movie?
Yes.
So like, you know what I'm talking about, Rob?
Yes.
So like, oh my God, he's doing it. He said the title of the movie in the movie.
Right, yeah.
So I made sure I had the words takedown and destruction, or like weird kind of, because just in case I decided on one of those to be the secondary title. Pepper these words in just in case, because then it'll be like, ooh, somebody will be like, ooh, they said it.
They said the word.
Yeah, I actually have one specific word that I put in all of my books, except I think I missed like two books. Even my like all of my books, there's one specific word I put in. And one of these days, I'm thinking about doing a contest to see if somebody could figure it out. It's very obscure, and if you know me, you might be able to figure it out. But I'm not going to tell you guys, obviously, because I want it to be a contest. Yeah, I make sure I put this one word in there because I'm such a nerd. But you know, it's fun that way.
Yeah, it's like an Easter egg, right? Little Easter egg in each book.
I definitely like the Easter eggs. I put an Easter egg in the last Mind book that goes back to the first Mind book. It's like an inside joke. So if people read the Mind series more than once, they might get the joke. I've started putting references to my other books in my new books. So the Crystal Caster series, one of the characters is watching an anime series of the Mind books.
Oh, that's fun.
That's really cool.
In the standalone news guy book that I wrote, he's reading Lucky on the Kindle.
Oh, man.
In the Mind books, in the second Mind book, two of the characters go see the Tiva Boone movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I did. Did I do it for this? Yeah, I don't think I did it for this new series because it's not really the same world. But I did. I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll have to double check to see if I put an Easter egg. But I definitely put an Easter egg in the. I think I put an Easter egg in the third Mind book, or the third Monarch book for one of the other series that I did. The Crystal Caster series I did. So yeah, so some of my books are reference other books and characters. Yeah, kind of fun.
So I'm curious, Jen, because I put little stuff in my books too, but I don't think I did it in the first couple of books. Like I didn't feel like I had earned that yet. I'm curious if you felt the same way. Like did it take you a couple of books?
I stopped caring what people think about me when I was 17. So I've had a lot of years to be like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do it anyway.
That's awesome.
And I shouldn't say that. Cause I was writing the second Mind book and I put it in there. Was it the second or it was a third one? because I had to rewrite the second one. And I wasn't, it was the third one. It's in the third one. So the third one. And I think I said to my friend, Tom Hoddle, you know him.
Yep.
And I'm like, Tom, should I do this? He's like, totally do that. I'm like,
oh, yes. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to do it.
Tom gives permission for everything.
He really does. So I was like, yeah. And I actually had a couple people that read the Tiva books first, that read the third Mind book. I'm like, oh my God, that was great. I love that little thing that they went to go see the movie. I'm like, oh, good. It doesn't come off pretentious because it's the character doing something.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, you know what? I did put the Monarch Mission files into the new books. I did nice. Do it. I just remember because it's small. It's like, yeah, I'm watching this new TV show about a girl with cybernetic enhancements named Mari. And if you didn't read the book, you don't know what I'm talking about.
You get it, yeah.
You think the character is talking about, oh, the Tiva Boon movie or the Mari book or whatever. So yeah. So if you've read it, you know it's an Easter egg. If you haven't, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mess up with the flow of the book or anything like that.
Right.
It's just that's impressive. Writing 20 books or just even publishing 20 books. Can you tell us a little bit about your writing process? Are you an outliner? How do you go about it?
Sure. I definitely started out as kind of an outliner pantser.
Yeah.
And then I morphed into a complete pantser. And then I think apparently I have too many ideas in my head because I've had a couple of reviews that say my plot's all over the place and doesn't she know what it is and blah 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 plot 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 plot. I'm like, I'll do a little more plotting, geez. But yeah, because yeah, whatever. So I've done. See, I always know like the middle of the book. I usually know the big bad at the end, like whatever the big bad is, the conflict, the person, whoever. I don't like to know the end, but I have an idea. I know what the goal is, and I let the characters grow. But I go off plot, or I just do a side quest or something. So I've been putting more notes in my manuscripts as I'm writing them to keep myself on track. So like chapter 25 will be this, and then chapter 26, maybe this will happen, or maybe this will happen. So I keep myself on track a little bit more than I used to, but I'm still 75% pantser. So yeah. I create my characters, I give them the background, I know what they look like, and I literally think about the opening couple of scenes, opening couple of chapters, probably for a good 3 months before I even start writing. So they create their own little space in my head. And then probably about 4 or 5 chapters in, I know who they are and they know who they are. And then it just comes out like, I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to explain it, but writers understand.
Take one of your characters. Any one of your characters, your favorite one. I know it's hard to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite kid, but come on, we all have our favorites. And what famous celebrity would you have play them in the movie?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, should not be a hard question.
Right, but she's all of a sudden she's like, oh, I didn't study.
No, it depends on. I have
just one.
I don't have an idea in my head for Dina, because Dina from the Mind book is she definitely has about 25% of my personality, so I don't really look at her as a character. Jeez, I can tell you who most of the characters are. Actually, all right, here we go. The fourth Mind book, which is Mind the Message, there is a couple, and the female lead is Asian, and I picture her as Ming-Na Wen.
She's
okay. Oh, yeah. Love her. And the male lead, American Gods. Did either of you see that?
Yep.
Ricky Whittle.
I don't know.
He was in the 100. He's awesome.
He Lincoln. Oh, I love that character. He was a great character. He's a good looking guy, but he's a great character. I love great characters.
Okay, so from other books that don't belong to you, like books that everybody would hear of, who would be, which fictional character would you date, and what would be your fantasy date with that fictional character? I love that question. It's my favorite question.
I kind of dated all of my characters in my head.
Your character. It has to be somebody else.
Oh, somebody else's character?
And it can be like any book, any movie. It has to be a fictional character. Oh. Which one would you want to date, and what would you want to do on that date?
I'm going out with the doctor, and I don't care what gender the doctor is. I'm going out with the doctor, and
And what are you guys going to do on your date?
Oh, we're definitely going to the future.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't have to do anything else. Just plop me in the future, and I'm done.
Okay, but what would you want to be doing in the future, like?
Oh, I just want to see aliens.
You want to see aliens? It's okay. We're not laughing at you. Rob is not laughing at you.
Laugh at me and with me. Okay.
With, definitely with. Yes, please. Yeah. Sign me up.
Honest to goodness, that, I hope I have another 50 years on this planet, but before I die, I would really honestly love to know that we're not alone, because...
I mean, you kind of already know that, though, right? I mean,
we 99% of me says yes, but there's that 1% that's like, we have no evidence. We just, evidence, but we have no firm evidence. And I just want to know for 100% certain before I die. Maybe when I die, that's when I'll know. Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I mean, we're getting so close. I've been watching Ancient Aliens since it started. I follow a couple of people online that have been really actually, like Christopher Mellon. He used to work for the DOJ, and he's working. He knows about ATIP and all the government programs that have actually been watching and doing their research. That stuff that came after Project Blue Book. So I'm very interested in the whole alien thing. So yeah, just me and the doctor seeing aliens. I'm good.
Yep. I'm with you. Absolutely. Yep. That's awesome.
That's what you would do. You would date one of the doctors and go into the future, Rob?
Yes, I would say yes.
That's your answer, really, eh?
That's going to be, I would have to think more on that, but yes. I would at least do one date with any one of the doctors. I'd be willing to do a date.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be a date. Just take me.
I'd be willing to do a date.
I don't need anything from you.
Well, I'm not gay. It's cool. That's fine. Totally. But I would be willing to, go ahead and give one of the male doctors a chance. If you need to be a future. Like, I'm open to it.
As one should be in the future when there's aliens around.
Yes, that's the stipulation, right? Like,
we can all be Jack Harkness for a day.
Right, right.
What if you went into the future and then all the aliens, like, say they looked different, but say you were attracted to them? Like, I would date one. I don't have that kind of discrimination.
I wrote a book about a guy with wings, so that was kind of like me wanting to bang Goliath from Gargoyles.
Gargoyles, I was just going to say Gargoyles. He was hot, though. He was hot.
Right. And
he was carved. That's not fair. He was carved that way. He didn't work out.
There's no such thing as fair.
It was the voice, his personality.
Yeah, he was the voice of the personality. And the fact that he could get you from A to B quicker than, in a car.
Yeah, so I was really, kind of upset that, I know they didn't really end the Gargoyles show the way that the writers wanted to, so they wrote comic books or whatever, and, Goliath got together, blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, I didn't get to see that because I didn't read the comic books after the show got canceled, so I wrote my own story about a woman falling in love with a gargoyle.
That's fair.
Fair enough, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're ripped and shit too. All that exercise.
They're like carved that way.
The definition of hard body. Rob is so upset because they're carved that way.
That's not fair. That's cheating.
I've seen some fat gargoyles carved.
Yes. And do you want to date them? No.
Well, actually, in the Gargoyles Disney one, they were actual gargoyle creatures who were cursed to turn to stone.
Right.
So.
Right.
There's a lot of fat gargoyle. I got Brody. No, I'm just kidding.
Brody.
Ouch. I'm going to pay for that. Anyway, well, on that note, we should probably wrap it up. That's all the time we have for today, folks. So you heard it here. What a great interview, Jen. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
We're going to do your props now. You can find Jen on jennixon.com.
Yes.
As well as Facebook and Instagram. And I believe you have some new books coming out. Rob, you going to talk about that?
We talked about it earlier, but let's mention it again. Her latest will come out this Friday. I don't remember the date on that. That's like the 26th or something of July. Drake's Dream, which wraps up your which series? Remind me which series?
That's the Various Brothers series. Each brother got their book. So.
That wraps up that series, or at least it's the third book in that series. So that's Drake's Dream. So be looking for that one, please. And
And as usual, thank you to our sponsors, Goodwin's Greenhouse Supply and Service. And that's all for today. See you in August.